Sister Lisa's going to share a special with us while she's... You guys going to play? Or you? Okay. All right. While they're communicating, good morning. Welcome. So good to see all of you that are gathered with us today. Appreciate the support of our sister churches, and we're looking forward to what God has in store for us this morning. But you pray for Sister Lisa as she sings.
Prisoner's chain.
Sorry, you're going to be disappointed now for sure. Inside.
praise the name of the Lord today in our service. That's our. Go right ahead, sister. Amen. Go right ahead. Amen. Amen. That was the instruction of Brother Boyd just a few moments ago for us to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. Someone else may have something on your heart. Word of testimony. We'll get to the message in a minute. God's been good to us this week. I have enjoyed a wonderful spirit in our services, a wonderful spirit amongst God's people. Everybody just doing whatever that needs to be done. I think we've had about 5 different piano players from the church here this week because this one had to work and that one had to work. And isn't it wonderful to just have somebody else just step right in and pick up where we have a need? And we're thankful for the soul last night. Did you sleep okay last night? We're thankful that the Lord gave her the peace that she's been missing for a lot of years. And it took a lot of courage last night to do what she did. But we're thankful for that. Looking forward to baptizing her on Sunday. Any other word before we get to the book of Romans, chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. If not, I want to share just a couple of verses with you. And as Paul was writing to the Romans here, he was making some statements and some comments here about that we are not to live in sin. He was making comments that we're not to let sin reign in us. And I want to address a few verses about that. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's jump down to verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I want to share one more verse, the very last verse in this chapter. We have made reference to it several times this week. And he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I desire your prayers for a few moments of time as I try to share the thought that God has given unto me. I need your prayers. You know, Brother Tony, I believe we said the other day, he's been preaching for 42 years, I believe. And I've been trying for 35 years myself. And, you know, people sometimes will say, it would ought to be easier, the longer you've been preaching. And maybe some of my other preaching brethren that are here can identify with this. It's never easy. It's not that we don't have the ability to stand before a crowd and speak. But for me, I understand the seriousness of what God's called me to do. I understand the urgency of the message, and I want to be able to rightly divide what God's Word says to us that we might be able to understand it. You know, we sang a song a moment ago that said, farther along, we'll know all about it. You know, I've thought about that many times, and there are a lot of things in this life that I have wondered about. Why did this happen, or why did that happen? And you may feel differently, but I'm persuaded to believe that those things that I question in this life now, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to care a thing about those things. Not going to care a thing about it. I'm not going to want to know why that happened or what the reason for that was. God's going to share with me the things maybe that I had a hard time understanding in the Word of God. Maybe He'll talk to me about those things. But I'm not going to care about the troubles and trials that befell me in this life. So you pray for me that I can share with you. My message this morning, and I know we've got many churches here, and we've got saved people here, and I believe we've got some unsaved people here, but my title of my message this morning, it's very direct, and it's to the point. And it's simply this: get sin out of your life. Get sin out of your life. And before you determine that I'm not speaking to you, let me be clear this morning. My message is for everyone that's here today, both to the believer and to the unbeliever. My message for those that are saved and those that may be unsaved amongst us. And the immediate need or the reason will differ based on your spiritual standing with the Lord. And but we all need to get sin out of our lives. It applies to all of us. Whether it might be a sin that's against God, or maybe it's a sin against someone in your life, maybe it's a sin against yourself. Or as Brother Tony mentioned in his message, maybe it's a sin against your own body. The Scripture records the penalty of sin is great, and it also tells us that it's inevitable. The wages of sin, the Word of God said, is death. In other words, the penalty for sin, it was a physical and it was a spiritual death that came upon all of mankind. Remember, this was not so at creation. I hope we realize this was not so at creation. Man was in a utopia. Man was in a perfect garden that Jesus had made for him. The scripture tells us that he walked with God, he talked with God, and I believe that at that point in time, man had eternal life. Never going to die. Spend all of time communing with God. But then, through the deception of Satan, and Brother Tony shared that with us earlier in the week, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, the scripture said, he said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Apostle Paul, he summed it up for us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 when he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And I want us to understand this morning that the result of that, it resulted in a separation, in a relationship between God and man, physically and spiritually. And that's what sin does. Sin separates and it brings upon man the judgment of God. Solomon stated in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, and Brother Tony quoted this last night, but he said, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. A transgressor, my friends, is a sinner. A transgressor is someone who is an evildoer. A transgressor is someone who does wrong in their life. The life of a person who disregards God's word, according to the word of God, it's a never-ending stream of trouble and hardship. And I can tell you this morning that ultimately it ends in destruction. But you see, the word of God also tells us that people who live by God's word, those of us that have been saved and those of us that are trying to be obedient to the teachings of God and we're trying to live by the word of God, we walk a smoother path. I'm not saying it's a path without temptation or troubles or trials, but we walk a smoother path because we're traveling it with the Lord, with God's blessings, and we're being faithful under the Lord and the leadership that he has for our lives, and we're building good relationships with God and with other people, and it's just an easier path for us to walk on. The point that I'm trying to make and that I want us to see this morning is you can't truly be happy in this life in a condition that's separated from God. You won't be able to enjoy the blessings of God, not physically, nor will you be able to spiritually. Our physical happiness, I believe, is directly connected with our spiritual happiness. Our purpose in life, my friends, is to honor and to glorify God. Our purpose in this life is to accomplish what God's will is in our lives through our faithful service that we give to Him and we give to others. I think in God's eyes, that's all that matters. That's what's truly important. And I wonder this morning, what matters to you? I wonder this morning, what's your purpose in this life? I wonder this morning, what are the goals that you have for yourself in this life? And I wonder, in all of those things, is there any room for God amongst all of that that's going on in your life? Those of you that know me, you know I'm a believer in being a multitasker. And I believe that there's room for the things that God has for us to do, that we can establish goals in our life and we can understand what our purpose is and the things that matter to us. But there's room for God too. I believe the Word of God says that we put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. There's a place for everything. There's the right balance that we're able to have in our lives. Is there room for God in your life today? I believe that we all, every one of us, must look at our own hearts. We live in a day and a time where we have a tendency to do what? Look at everybody else's heart. We want to look at everybody else's life. We want to find the fault that's going on in their life. We want to point out what they're not doing right or what they didn't say right. God says we need to look at ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul said, examine yourselves whether... Who's in the faith? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. He didn't say examine somebody else to see if they're in the faith. He said examine and see if you're in the faith. And he said prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Brothers and sisters, this is a powerful verse. And everybody needs to consider what the Apostle Paul was saying. What he was saying to the Corinthians, he was saying to them, make sure that your faith is genuine. He was telling them, make sure that your faith is real. He said, make sure that you're really a Christian, that you've really been saved by grace through faith. Listen this morning, salvation is serious. It's serious because your eternity is dependent upon it. Mary Catherine, I'm thankful for God's mercy and grace on your life. He watched over you all those years until you got it right. God wants us to get it right. And if a person claims that they have salvation, but yet you look at their life and they're living in sin, it makes their faith suspect to us. Paul was saying, make sure that Christ is in you. And the other thing that he was really saying, brothers and sisters, if Christ is in you, if you have a profession of faith, if you have a time and a place where you surrender unto the Lord, and as Sister Virgie said, that burden was removed and the peace of God was placed in your heart and the Holy Spirit was within you. What he was saying was, then we need to live it. You all heard the expression, don't do as I say, don't do as I say, do as I do. Well, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do what he tells us to do. You can tell the whole world you're a Christian, but if there's no fruits and you're not living for the Lord, people are just looking at you as a hypocrite. They don't believe you. He said, if you're not in the faith, you're a reprobate. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that you're found unfit. It means you're rejected. It means you're doomed. It means you're condemned to perdition. You're condemned to that place of eternal punishment and separation from God. And the only true way to know where you stand with the Lord is to examine yourself. To take a look within your own self. I don't think we do this enough. I would venture to say most of us that are in here, we probably go to the doctor at least once a year or maybe several times of the year, and he gives us a good going over to find out what kind of condition we're in. Well, the Apostle Paul was telling us here, he was urging us to examine our spiritual self, give ourselves a spiritual checkup, check out our spiritual well-being. Jeremiah in Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 40, he said, let us search our ways. Let us search our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. What was he doing? He was calling upon the people to repent of their sins. He was calling upon them to turn back to the Lord by lifting their heads and lifting their hearts in prayer unto the Lord, that he might hear and that he might forgive them. You see, there is not a multitude of choices here. You are either reconciled in your relationship, saved, or you remain separated apart from God, unsaved. If unsaved, as I said, the scripture says you're a reprobate. You're unfit. You're rejected by God. You're excluded from the benefits of heaven, the benefits and the promises of God that come with salvation. Brothers and sisters, we ought to rejoice in the benefits of salvation. There are so many benefits that we have by being a child of God. We can approach the throne of grace with boldness because we're a child of God. We can bring our needs to Him. We can thank Him for His blessings. There are benefits to being a child of God. Ultimately, yes, we were spared the adversity and the torment of hell, and we're going to heaven. But it's so much more than that, brothers and sisters, and we ought to rejoice in what God has done for us. Those of you that are separated and apart from God, that are lost in your sins, I don't want you to forget that text verse of mine. I want you to remember the result of sin is death. The penalty of it is death. The wages of sin is death, physically and spiritually. And you know, this is important. It's important because it affects our life here on earth. And as I said, our eternal destination as well. I know I'm getting personal when I ask this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Will you spend eternity in heaven, or will you spend eternity in hell? And I'll tell you again this morning, your answer is determined solely by your and your alone relationship that you have with Jesus Christ at this very moment, right now. Right now. So the question is, right now, if the Lord comes back this very moment to claim His own, or if for some unbeknown reason you have a health issue and you drop dead in the pew right now, are you going to spend eternity in hell? Or are you going to spend eternity in heaven? I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. I've heard of preachers dropping in the pulpit. That's not one of my wishes or desires. Never had that one. But I know when it happens, in that moment, in that instant, absent from the body, present with the Lord, I'm going to enjoy the promises of God in heaven. Our hope, our only hope, it lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth to be our Savior. We hear John 3:16 quoted all the time, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But you know, verse 17, we leave that off so many times, but for me, it drives home the point. When it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world," He could have, but He didn't do that. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus came to earth to be our Savior. Jesus became man's substitute. In other words, He stood in our place. Isaiah 53:5, we've mentioned it several times this week, how He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, "For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." I pray this morning that this is sinking in to our minds. I pray that it's sinking into our hearts this morning. Jesus bore the sins of man. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 tells us, "Who His own self," Lord, "His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, the cross of Calvary, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Talk about the love of God. He did that for us. Jesus offered Himself as our sacrifice for sin. What did John say? "Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." Paul, in his writing to Titus, he said, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself," what? "A peculiar people, zealous of good works." Brothers and sisters, that's us. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we are a peculiar people. What does that mean? We're strange and we're weird? No, it means we're different. We're different from those that are lost in sin. We're a new creature in Christ. God has called us to be His ambassadors. We have a great work to do, but in order for us to accomplish and do it, we got to get sin out of our lives. Jesus, my friend, suffered and died to redeem the human race. Are we getting it all, what this means? I don't know if I'm being clear. I'm trying to be clear this morning. I'm trying to make it where you can understand what it means. And if you want to experience joy, if you want to have a right relationship with the Father, it comes by and through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all men through His death, burial, and His resurrection. I want us to understand that. I want you to get that. Christians that are here this morning, I know you get that. What I'm trying to get you to do is rejoice in it. Be happy about it. Be the happiest people in the world because of what Jesus did for you. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, I want you to get it. I want you to know the suffering that Christ endured for you. I said salvation was a personal experience between you and the Lord. He died for the whole world, but He died for you personally, that you could get right with God, that you could be saved. To experience salvation, you got to get sin out of your life. You'll never experience the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10 and verse 10 until you do that. The question that we have before us today is, have you heeded the words of Paul? Have you listened to, have you paid attention to his words? Have you examined yourself this morning? Are you in the faith? Preacher, you're asking us a lot. You're asking us, are we listening to you this morning? Yeah, I want you to listen to me. And you're asking us, are we examining ourselves and seeing if we're in the faith, where we stand? Yeah, I'm asking you to do that too. You can do all those things. You have the ability to do it. And you can understand if you have, you've looked at yourself, and you've determined this morning that you're not in the faith, that you've not been saved. You need to seek Him. And you need to seek Him today. For today is the day of salvation. The psalmist said, the Lord is nigh. That means He's close. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as a contrite spirit. Well, what is a contrite spirit? A contrite spirit is a remorseful spirit. It's one that's ashamed. It's one that's a repentant spirit. That's why it's a serious matter when people come to the Lord for salvation. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of seeking new life. It's a serious time. God's people, Sister Virgie and others of us that are gathered here, if you're here and lost, I hope you heard her testimony this morning. People like her and others of us, we're agonizing. We're burdened. We're losing sleep. We're shedding tears. We're praying that God would convict and burden your heart and draw you to an altar of repentance where you can trust in the Lord and be saved. That's love. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. We love you enough to pray for you and desire you to experience this wonderful gift of salvation that God has. Remember, God's the giver of life. We look to the very beginning of God's Word. Adam was formed out of the dust of the ground, and the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He took a rib out of Adam and he made Eve. He's the giver of life. Every child that is born into this world is a life that has been given by God. We look at those in Scripture who have been raised from the dead to new life. Jesus himself arose from the dead, having victory over death and the grave. Listen, a new life, a new birth, being born again, awaits everyone that will come unto him, unto the Lord, with a repentant heart of faith. Brothers and sisters, after we've been saved, that's the first thing, most important thing in life is to be saved. After that we've been saved, though, after we've trusted in the Lord with all of our heart, we're still going to be exposed to temptations. We're still going to be exposed to sin. My encouragement to you today is, don't let Satan win by causing you to stumble. Don't let him win. He wants to win. The message of Paul in Romans chapter 6 here, verse 11 through 13, it's clear. When you are saved, we become a new creature in Christ. When we become a new creature in Christ, the old man, the old life, it's deemed to be dead. We're to stop letting sin have mastery over our lives. We're to stop letting sin have authority over our lives. We're to stop letting sin have dominion over our life. We're to stop giving in to sin. And you know what? We can do that by yielding and committing to God. I'll tell you this morning, the closer you are to the Lord, the more you're in the Lord's Word, the more you're in prayer, the harder it is for Satan to get into your life and steer you off the straight and narrow into the wide, broad pathway. Why don't we understand that? Why are we so easily drawn away from the Lord and our commitment that we need to have to Him? Sin in the life of Christians, let me say this, sin in the life of a Christian, it does not jeopardize the permanence of our salvation. I hope you heard what I just said. We as Missionary Baptists believe in eternal security of the saint. Once saved, always saved. But here's the thing. Sin does affect our life, and sin does affect the lives of those that are around us, that are looking at us, and those that are watching us. It affects our church. It affects the spirituality of our worship with the Lord. I believe it affects our efforts for the King, our efforts for the kingdom. Don't be a hindrance to the work of the Lord because of their sin in your life. There's a lot of people that understand this, and they tell me, well, that's why I don't go to church anymore. Listen, many people miss out on the blessings of the Lord because their solution is total abandonment of God and His teachings. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong answer. When there's sin in our life, the answer is not abandonment of God. The answer and the right attitude is to get sin out of your life. The Lord wants us to respond. How? By getting down on our knees and getting down on our knees and praying and asking Him to make things right. And I'm going to say saint and sinner. If you're lost and not been saved, the answer is getting on your knees, repenting of your sins, trusting in who Jesus is and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary with all of your heart, with genuine sincerity, and according to the Word of God, He'll save your soul. For those of us who are God's children, if we've strayed off the path, the solution isn't staying farther away from God. It's coming back and getting closer to God the exact same way. Getting on our knees, making an altar somewhere, and asking God to forgive us of the sin in our life and to give us a clear pathway between us and the portals of heaven so that we can be those ambassadors that He has called us to be. I sometimes get tired and I get frustrated by what some call hypocrites. You know them. They're those who portray that holier than thou are. And, I don't commit sin. The only person truly fooled is them. Because we all commit sin, as I said earlier in the week today. We all commit sin, and we need to get sin out of our lives. And it begins by getting down on our knees and communing with our Lord and Savior. And we can receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, and I'm going to close in just a minute. Do you really believe in God? Do you really believe in God this morning? We can tell by testing ourselves by asking this one question. Do we believe the witnesses about Christ? 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, and I'm going to close. In this portion of God's Word, we got the witness of God, which is far greater than the witness and the testimony of any man. Listen to what he said. If we receive the witness of men, and we do that many times, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Listen. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Well, what's the record? God said, for this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Listen this morning. God never exaggerates. God never takes and twists the truth or the facts. He never lies. And He never deceives. What God says is always true. It's the plain and simple truth that God gives to us. For that reason, God's record about His Son, it should be believed. It should be believed by everyone that hears the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to to get sin out of our lives. If you're unsaved, you need to get sin out of your life. You need to come to Jesus. Those of us who are God's children, if there's sin in our life, it's time to get sin out of our lives. I want to give an invitation, and I want to encourage each to come. The Scripture said if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise that God gives. While we stand, let's have a song. I don't know your hearts tonight or this morning, but I do know that God gave me the message, and I'm done giving what He gave. And we come to the place and the time in the service where we give people, God's people, the unsaved, an opportunity to respond to God's message, to His truth. Let's examine ourselves. Let's make sure we're in the faith. If you're not, you need to seek Jesus. If you are, but you've drifted, you need to get sin out of your life. And I want to say this. We're a peculiar people, aren't we? We don't want anybody to know anything about us unless it's good. And then we want to hear all about it. We're ashamed or embarrassed. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't be embarrassed about the privilege that God gives us to come to an altar and bow down and say, Lord, if there's anything unclean in me, clean me up. When I was 9 years old, maybe there's some here that are unsaved. When I was 9 years old, God convicted me, burdened my heart. I knew I was lost. I came to an altar, I prayed, and He saved my soul. He cleaned me up. He made me pure and whole, covered me with the shed blood of Jesus, put the indwelling of the Spirit of God within me. And as I said earlier in the week, for 49 years now, I've been trying to walk a pathway. I'm not bragging when I say this, because I know everybody's life's different, but I wasn't a bad kid. I didn't get into stuff. I didn't do stuff. You know? My mom, when she passed away, they weren't diaries, but they were just books that she wrote about her family, you know? And in the book, she wrote about me one line. It said, all the gray hairs I had in my head, He didn't cause any of them. I'm thankful for that. Now, some of you will say, well, you didn't have no fun. You sure missed out on a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe I did. I don't know. See, I don't know any better. I'm happy with my life. From the time I was saved at 9 years old, I was in church. Well, I was in church my whole life before that. You know, as I was growing after I was saved, very young, I was involved in so many things of the church. In my life, from young, being a young man, teaching Sunday school, and you know, church clerk, and you know, Sunday school. Where's Jim? Thank you, Sunday school superintendent. You know, all of those things, I did those things. I don't regret any of them. Have I made mistakes in my life? Oh, you bet. If I had a few do-overs I could do, absolutely, I'd do some things differently with my life. Because I haven't always, may not have done anything bad, but I know I haven't always pleased God. That's why in a few minutes I'm going to be on the altar. I want to get closer. I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to examine my spiritual well-being. And I want to get better at what God wants me to be. But while we sing, there may be someone that wants to join me up here. You may be unsaved. You may be a child of God that just needs the Lord to do a little cleaning today. Let's stand. Invitation is to all of us that will come and bow. While we sing, Is There One? Anybody need to join me today? Will you come? Will you come today? Will you trust the Lord today? He knows what your need is. He can provide for it. This last verse, is there a need today? Am I going to be the only one? It's okay. I've prayed by myself many times before. Y'all good? Amen. Thank you, Brother Allen. Is anyone here that's lost today? You're still invited to come. Me and Brother Tony, we're going to take a few moments in prayer. Just bear with us. If you're good, that's okay. If you do feel like you want to come and join us, you're still welcome to do that. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, God, once again, we're thankful for the day you've blessed us with. Thankful, Father, for the privilege of this new day that you've allowed us to rise to. Thankful, our Heavenly Father, that you loved us enough that you gave us life today. But more importantly, our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you loved us enough to send your only begotten Son, Jesus, to this earth to be the atonement or the propitiation for our sins. And we're thankful, God, that when he asked, let this cup pass from me, he really understood, our Heavenly Father, that our eternal destination depended on his obedience and faithfulness all the way to the cross. And I'm thankful, Father, that he went and died and buried and was resurrected. And he sits at the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for all those that call upon him. Thankful, Father, as a 9-year-old boy, that when I called, that he interceded for me and saved my soul. And Father, today as we gather, if there's any unsaved amongst us this morning, I pray, God, for your convicting power upon their soul. If they don't get saved this very moment, this very service, that maybe they'll come back tonight and hear the word again and let it continue to feed their soul and make them to realize the need to trust in Jesus before it's too late. Father, as we pray and bow today, the message that you gave me today was we need to get sin out of our life. I can't speak for anybody else, but I pray for myself this morning, Father, that if there be any unclean thing, if there be any sin in my heart, if there be anything in my life, our Heavenly Father, that's a stumbling block to this revival, to the lost soul, to anyone, I pray, God, for forgiveness of that. And through your Spirit, our Heavenly Father, that you would guide and direct me in the things that would be pleasing unto you. We want, our Heavenly Father, every time that we gather together, the efforts that are put forth, we want it to be pleasing unto you. We love you today, and we're thankful, God, for your blessings. And we just ask, God, that we as a people, revival isn't just for the unsaved to get saved. That's what we're striving for. But revival is also a time for God's people to draw closer to you and closer to one another. And Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the peace and the harmony and the unity that we have. Yes. But I still believe, our Heavenly Father, every child of God, no matter where they're at in their life today, can get a little bit closer to you. And we can work a little bit harder and we can do a little bit more. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you help us to get that proper balance on our plates with all that the world's got going on and with all the plans and goals that we have for ourselves. May we be mindful, Heavenly Father, that the goals of this life, they're only temporary. They're not going to last long. But our Heavenly Father, eternity is forever and unending. And we got to get that right. We pray, God, that those that aren't saved will get that right. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Again, forgiving for any sin and shortcoming in my life. Continue to bless our revival. Be with Brother Boyd as he stands in this revival. God, we pray that you would fill him with your spirit, that you'd anoint him with your power, that he could boldly stand in the sacred behind the sacred desk, Father, and have great liberty and be able to follow the unction of the Spirit and to be able to, Father, to just proclaim your word without hindrance and great boldness, that it might go forth. Until